Move the damned rocks outside the terraformed area, Dex said. And the village, the cemetery, the cliff structures. Let the tourists see them. They'll pay enough so you can send out teams to find other villages. There must be more of them. I'd rather cut my arm off. Dex took a deep breath. Christ, you've got to be the stubbornest goddamned redskin in the world. Jamie, you've got to listen to reason. Jamie closed his eyes and pictured the base with only 15 people working in it. What could they do? What could they accomplish, he wondered. We wouldn't be able to do much useful work. Just help Carlton clear away more of the village. No excursions beyond the immediate area around the dome. No new discoveries. As if he could read Jamie's mind, Dex said, You know you can't accomplish diddly squat with just 15 people. They'll be caretakers, nothing more. At least they'll be taking care of the place, not trampling it into the dust. Ah, shit, Jamie, Dex groused. Leaning toward him, Jamie asked, How many of your billionaire friends will come to Mars, Dex? At 50 million a pop, how many will come? Taken aback somewhat, Dex muttered, A couple dozen or so, at least. 40, 50, maybe. Okay. That's $2.5 billion. That'll keep you going for years. How many years? Dex did some swift mental arithmetic. 3, 4, maybe 5. And then what? Then what? After the high rollers have come and gone. How do we fund the operation then? Dex hesitated. Jamie said, I'll tell you how. You'll lower the price, right? Get more customers to come. More tourists visiting Mars. Lower prices means more people. That's what you'll have to do to keep the money flowing in. Okay, but by then you'll probably be finished excavating the village. You can leave it for the tourists and move on. No, never. That village isn't a tourist attraction. It was the home of living, breathing, intelligent people. We have to protect it, honor it. For Christ's sake, Jamie, this isn't some goddamn religious crusade. The hell it isn't. Dex's voice turned cold and hard. Okay. You turn down the tourist idea, and you run out of funding. What then? Selene will keep us alive. Barely. Jamie nodded, admitting it. We'll manage somehow. For how long? A year? Two? Selene's not going to support you indefinitely, especially if you're not producing new results. They'll shut you down sooner or later. Maybe, Jamie conceded. And you know what'll happen once you shut down the base and bring everybody home. This is home, Jamie replied silently. Once the Navajo presence on Mars ends, Dex went on remorselessly, the Navajo Nation loses its right to control the territory. Somebody else will come in. Your friends, with their tourist operation, Jamie replied woodenly. Damned right. And they won't be interested in scientific exploration at all. They'll be your worst nightmare come true, Jamie. Sullen resentment burning inside him, Jamie muttered. And you'll help them. Damned right I will, said Dex with some heat. You know why? Because I don't want to see this work abandoned. I want to keep the exploration of Mars going. By selling out to tourists. Right! You think you're the only one who cares about what we're doing here? You think you've got a monopoly on righteousness? I'll make a deal with tourists. I'll make a deal with anybody, the devil incarnate, if I have to. The important thing is to keep this operation going, even if your people have to put up with tourists. Jamie stared into his friend's face. He does care, Jamie realized. He's so damned dead wrong, but he cares. Then he heard his grandfather's voice in his mind. There's always more than one path to get where you want to go, Jamie. Finding the right path is important, but sometimes you got to travel a path that's tougher, more roundabout. The important thing is to get where you want to go. Before he could make up his mind to say anything, Hasdrubal called from the cockpit. We're almost there. Another 10 minutes. Think about it, Dex whispered to Jamie. Don't be so goddamn stubborn. Jamie nodded wordlessly. But in his heart, he knew he could never allow Dex or anyone else to ruin his life's work. Tithonium Fossey, Crater Chang. They're dead. They're all dead. Sal Hasdrabal was on his knees in the bottom of the crater, half a dozen sample cases scattered across the broken rocks. The steep sides of the crater were studded with sensor poles. Hasdrabal had scraped a meter-long trench in the looser ground between the rocks and was pouring some of the dirt into one of the insulated plastic boxes. But as he worked, he grumbled, "It's useless. We're too friggin' late. They're all dead." From up at the lip of the crater, Jamie asked, "How can you be sure?" Hasdrabal looked up at him, then shook his head. "They couldn't take the radiation, the cold, the low pressure." "But maybe some of them..." "Nah, we're too damned late. They're all dead." Dex came up beside Jamie in his nanosuit and peered into the crater. They could see Hasdrabal's boot prints weaving through the sensor poles. The biologist had insisted on going down to the bottom alone, afraid that too many boots might damage the microbes living in the ground down there. "They formed a crust of dead cells," he said mournfully, "like they were trying to shield themselves." "Then maybe some of them have survived," Jamie said hopefully, "beneath the protective crust." Dex added, "Bacteria have survived on the surface of the moon for years, with no air, no water, and hot radiation pouring in on them." "Yeah, I know," said Hasdrabal. He clicked the last of his sample cases shut. "Maybe you're right. Maybe some of them have gone into a spore state." "You'll have to get them under a microscope," Jamie said, trying to sound encouraging. "Yeah," Hasdrabal replied glumly. "Can we give you a hand carrying the cases back to the Kampa?" Dex asked. Slowly rising to his feet, Hasdrabal said, "Sure, appreciate it. Come on down." Jamie and Dex scrambled down the loose rocks and soil of the crater's steep walls. With each of them carrying a pair of sample cases, they made their way back up to the surface and trudged to the camper. "Storm in the outside bay," Hasdrabal said. "Keep 'em at ambient temperature." Jamie glanced at the sun, still climbing in the yellowish sky. A few thin, wispy clouds rode near the horizon. Nothing to worry about, he thought. No sign of a dust storm. Wrong season. With a glance at the digital watch on the wrist of his nanosuit, Jamie said, "It's not even noon yet. We could get back to the dome before sunset if we start out now." "Might as well," Hasdrabal agreed. "Nothing more here for me to do." Once they had vacuumed the dust off their suits, Jamie took the driver's seat with Hasdrabal at his right. "I thought we had jump seats in the old campus," Dex said, leaning in between them again. "Nope," said Jamie, engaging the superconducting electric motors that drove each individual wheel. "We always had to scrunch down like that." "Well, I'm going to make a note about it. A jump seat would be a hell of a lot more comfortable." "Do that," Jamie said, thinking. "That's the least of our worries." Hasdrabal looked morose, Jamie thought. "Too bad we didn't get here soon enough to study the microbes alive," he said. "Yeah. I had hoped to bring them back to the dome, put them in a simulated environment, see how they made out, watch them adapt. But we were too late. Now we'll never know." Dex said, "Don't give up. Maybe some of them survived." The biologist made a half-hearted shrug. "Like you said, I'll put them under the microscope, see what there is to see." "Then what?" Dex asked. "Then I pack them up and ship them back to Chicago." "The University of Chicago?" "Yeah, biology department." "Who'll be studying them there?" Jamie asked. "Me, if I still have a job there." Jamie felt his brows hike up. "You? You're leaving?" "Not on the ship in orbit now," Hasdrabal said, his voice heavy and slow. "The next flight." "The evacuation flight," Jamie said. "Yeah, right." Dex asked, "What did you mean, if you still have a job there?" "I've been getting messages from the university and from a few friends in the bio department. I'm supposed to be up for tenure, but the university brass is putting tenure appointments on hold." "Why the hell would they do that?" Dex asked. Jamie said, "I think your work on Mars would guarantee you an appointment." Shaking his head, Hasdrubal said, "Just the opposite.